Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome into the second birthday-ish edition of the Dumb Marks Podcast, episode 104. Your boy's turning two today in the podcast game. Gentlemen, what's going on?
Nothing much. How are you?
2 years.
2 years in it, 2 years down. Hopefully many more to go. Appreciate all the love and support and everybody that's tuned in for the last 2 years. We appreciate you guys per usual. Yeah, man. No balloons, no confetti, no nothing. We definitely dropped the ball. We gotta step up the production game of this show. This is ridiculous.
I like it. It's straight to business. That's what it is.
What were you gonna do? Get four different confetti blasters at everybody's house.
Hey,
hey, like we want an AEW title. We want an AEW title, shoot the confetti off.
That's right. Technology is a beautiful thing. We can all set a timer and have it go off at the same time. Ready? We might get some sparklers out there like the death match, but I mean, it is what it is.
Right? StreamYard don't have like a little thing you can press buttons and little and, virtual and confetti
drop down on the screen. Yeah. StreamYard, step your game up for the celebrations. everybody good. It's officially a fall crisp morning here. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, I
woke up refreshed, ready to go.
This is where me and Donald differ on weather.
Oh, this is the greatest weather, boy. The greatest time of the year is coming up.
Hey, let's not, I mean, I'm on four fall, but let's not go from 80 to 45. Can we get some, you know, lowering of the temperatures to get used to? Because that 45 hits different after 80 degrees.
That's what I said. I don't remember the last time that, like, the last day of summer felt like summer and the first day of fall felt like fall. Usually you get that long, extra long summer, that early fall. It's like it changed over just like 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm.
Got some shout outs in the shout outs. Morning. What's up? Kenny, my guy. We got to get that Cobra Kai pod set up. We all watched it. We're ready to break it down. I got my Cobra Kai sweatsuit ready to go. I got the hoodie last year. My wife found me matching pants, so I'm ready. So the geek is ready to break that down. Yeah, we're out there. People were finding Terry Silver at Walmart. Like, it's crazy. Did you see that picture floating around?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, like, so there was
the real dude.
It wasn't Terry Silver. There was a guy, and he was like staring out the window at Walmart. Somebody was leaving the store, and he had the silver hair in the ponytail, and like the dude took the picture, and then he black and whited it. You know what I mean? And it looked like he's like, Terry Silver's at Walmart. He got out. He's ready to go. But yeah, no, I want to deep dive into that because we definitely have differing opinions on this show.
Yes, we do.
Was he scouting that Walmart for the next Cobra Kai location?
He's out there scouting. He's opening up dojos where McDonald's used to be inside Walmart.
Was this controlling the narrative?
I think I see him at Target buying Hot Wheels.
Yeah. So we're going to set that up, Kenny, real soon. Figure out everybody's schedule because I enjoyed coming on the show last year, breaking down season 4. So let's have you in our house this year. We'll break down season 5 and get that ball set up. Where you guys want to start at? I guess, Chris, should we recap the high school reunion real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
So last week we went to the high school reunion. Great time. Got to see some people I really haven't seen since high school. Mm. So it was fun, man. I enjoyed myself. Little skimpy on the food, but I understand we want to keep costs down. You know, everything's up this year. So, you know, chicken tenders and pizza, flatbreads, like, let's step the food game up next time.
Those are some sad-ass chicken tenders, too.
Yeah, a little...
You better off calling the lunch ladies from the high school to give me a better meal.
I need some Italian Dunkers, a double cheeseburger, some pizza, nacho line.
Yeah, I'm getting my fries with cheese and pretzel with cheese. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but no, it was a good time. We shut the place down. They were actually turning the lights off on us to get out. So that was always a good time. But
imagine my surprise when I log on to Facebook and see the two guys who are like, I really don't want to go. I see Chris's smile in every picture. Networking.
Hey, listen, man. I was out there promoting the pod.
We were networking for the pod while we were there.
We got an idea for a branch off show that popped up that we're going to get into. All right, so let's get into this because we won't spend a lot of time on this, right? But you always go, all right, well, did I fall off? Did she fall off? Is it going to be awkward, et cetera, right? So I will say this, and this is not just to pat myself on the back, although it's going to sound like a complete pat on the back, but every girl that I dated, their parents to this day still talk about me and compare their current significant other or who they're dating to me. So I've done a good job making an impression on parents, right? I've been in there like swimwear with every single mom and dad of a girl that I've ever dated, right? To this day, my parents that I see out randomly talk to me for 15, 20 minutes. Like, I'm catching up with them instead of their daughter. Like, it's tremendous. So everybody ran into a couple exes there, and it was, hey, oh my gosh, this and that. And, like, I had one actually take a picture and text it to her mom. Like, look who I'm with. And her mom texts back, like, how's he doing? Da, 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 and like handed me the phone. Here, text my mom. Like, yeah. So it was good. But I will say, there's the one ex, right? The high school sweetheart, the high school relationship that was you thought would be forever because it's young love and you don't know what love is and everything else, right? That one was a little awkward, and I don't know why, but it was still a little awkward for whatever reason. It was a brief, hey, hello. Little half-hearted, you know, do I go in for a high five? Do I go in for a dap? Do we do a hug? I don't know why, but you know what I mean? So, yeah, but that one was a little awkward. It was a real quick hi, hello, and that was kind of it. But other than that, great time. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. I did. I'm glad I went. Like, I was a little hesitant at first, but no, I'm glad I went.
Yeah, me too. That's why I said that. I was like, you know what? I didn't go to the 10. Didn't really want to go to the 20, but going to the 20 and actually having fun, it's like, all right, if they do a 25 or 30, I'd probably go to it.
And my man Chris was out there. He had the sweat rag working early. Like, I walk in the bar, and he already had the towel going. I'm like, there's like 10 people here. Like, what are you going to do when this place fills up?
I was on 2 gin and tonics by the time you got there. So
Yeah, he
works early, man.
Yeah, he was gin and juicing it up all night.
Did some shots. There was plenty of shots to be had.
There were. There were shots.
Everybody was buying rounds. So there was, what, 3 rooms for the reunion. Everybody just hung out at the bar.
Yeah, it was
at the bar. There was another party there too, but like the class of 2002, they just took over the bar.
And shout out to whatever other Steves were there, because I'm sure some of y'all got my drinks on your tab, because I got my tab at the end of the night and I'm like, I only spent this much, and I'm going back like, I bought that. And I was like, hey, let's sign it. Here's a nice tip for you. Thanks for coming out. Appreciate you.
Hey, that's the ultimate win right there.
No, I mean, I don't know what you spent, but it actually wasn't bad. Like, the bar wasn't like overly priced. Like, everybody was getting their bills and going, like, wow, like,
I spent $27.
Really?
Really? Wow. Really?
$27.
Yeah, they definitely got your bill wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah, that bill should have been upcharged a lot more than 27. Yeah. But you know. But it was good time. Good time. So yeah.
I think I spent 50 and I did like 3 or 4 rounds. So
well, you're
horrible. You're
single. Yeah, I'm married with children. You guys, you know, you're single, so you're allowed to. Your round game is a lot wider than me. I got to be selective. Like, I got to do it on the slide. You want to do a shot real quick and not say it out too loud because, you know, I got kids, as Heath Slater would like to say.
You think you'd go out somewhere and that would have been hundreds.
Yeah. Oh,
any other regular bar.
Oh, yeah. Any other local bar that tab is way higher. So, nah. Shout out to the bartenders too, because they had two other parties booked where we were at.
All right, Ty's got a good memory, so
that's right. Yeah, charge the shit out of him. He's they must listen to the show. Yeah, so but no, there were two other parties there, and they only had one bartender to start, and I felt so bad for her. I'm like, this girl is gonna be running around all night long, like people better be taking care of her. You know, the crowd may get a little rowdy later on because it's taking a while to get drinks, but they got it worked out. They had more people behind the bar as the night went on. So enjoyed the establishment, enjoyed the reconnection with people. And so yeah, it was good to go.
That's good.
All right. Intro, what do we want to get into real quick? Anything gaming wise, whatnot?
two quick things for gaming. This week, Sony announced that they're going to do a PS5 revision, and they're going to take out the disk drive for the systems now and package it up with a portable disk drive. So basically, you're going to get a digital version of the PS5 and get a portable disk drive. And a lot of people are for it because if your lens burn out or something, you could buy another portable disk drive that they're offering. So something to scale back costs, but also they could charge as much as they want to for this portable disk drive. So we'll see how it is. They didn't announce, like, you know, when is it coming out or anything, but just something for them to do.
Is it an official PS5 disk drive, or is it just relabeled Sony disk drive?
No, it'll probably be a Sony, something like that. So we'll see how that goes. And also the biggest thing this week, Grand Theft Auto 6 got hacked and leaks of the game. Came out over the week. So I watched some of the leaks. They were just basically showing the gameplay, a lot of code up on the screen, how stuff is going to work. People was mad about it because it don't look like a polished game, but it's not supposed to be polished. They're just working out the kinks and everything. That's what the code up on screen was for. See how the AI reacts to the player and all that stuff. So Rockstar was mad about that, the leaks getting out. And actually yesterday they arrested the person over in the UK who hacked Rockstar. Mm-hmm. And they also found out that they also hacked Uber as well. So the person was a 17-year-old British citizen who's arrested now for that. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, crack it down. Mm-hmm. Cracking down.
And Rockstar said that these leaks coming out are not going to delay the game. So we'll see. Probably about 2 years. The game will come out. Mm-hmm. But the way it's looking is looking like a good game. Co-op.
That's tremendous. I did see, and I sent this to you guys. So Xbox is getting in the handheld space. So they got it looks like a Nintendo Switch are going to be comparable to the Nintendo Switch handheld from Logitech.
Okay.
I didn't really look into it too much. I saw it. I had it saved off to read it, and it just got away from me this morning to where I couldn't actually go through to get more details on it. But, yeah, I mean, hey, Xbox is taking full advantage of PS5s not being out in stores, you know, being on a wait list still, whatever the case may be. But – I'll see how much it is first before I go shelling out money for the handheld.
Are they still making Gears?
Gears is still around. Yeah.
Gears are still around? Okay.
Yeah, it's still around. They just didn't make anything since Gears 5. So, you know, they're taking their time off or working on different projects. But I remember years ago that Xbox, Microsoft, and Nintendo was trying to come to a deal where they could put Game Pass on the Switch. So I don't know how that is going, if it's still on the table, if it's not on the table or anything. But I know that was going to be their handheld, like getting their thing into handheld was going off of that.
It looks like they must have scrapped that and just said,
we'll do it ourselves. Yeah, we'll do it with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Hey, but never say never. The way Microsoft is out there throwing stuff around.
True. All right. Mm-hmm. Definitely flexing their weight.
Yes, they are.
Anything else intro-wise?
No, nope. Good.
All right, man. Let's hop right into it. Bell to bell this week. Let's go. All All right, big big week in pro wrestling, right? Based off of the titles and the shows that were happening, big week in pro wrestling. We had AEW with Grand Slam this week.
NXT WWE refresh.
Status quo with Raw and SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Impact had Victory Road last night. So a lot going on. There was a lot of wrestling on last night. You had 2 hour SmackDown, 2 hour Rampage plus Victory Road. So if you're a wrestling dork, it was a great night.
And the debut of Wild Women of Wrestling this past weekend too.
That's right. They were on
We all post our TV.
We're gonna get into that. For sure.
I'll describe that, Ty. I'll describe that.
So
we'll fight, that was a text that I sent 5 minutes or not five, like 15 minutes into the show.
Well, I know Donald checked out afterwards. That was it. He threw in his towel for the night. So let's just get into it. Jericho beating Claudio for the ROH world title. Best for business or what the WTF?
WTF.
Definitely WTF.
Best for business and WTF. Two things can be true at the same time.
I'm in agreement with Jason here. I got the best for business, but WTF. I saw a lot of...
Bring it up.
Yeah.
You got to put it up. Put it up, Chris.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
100%.
Jarrah Hogan.
And Steve, I think I know where you're going to go with this because I saw a lot of the same stuff and we had the same type of conversation, you know, when we did the prediction show for Death Before Dishonor, that you need somebody that can be recognized as the champion, you know, when they get TV, if they get TV, because Tony said this week that they're still trying to work through something with the deal. So nothing's even on the horizon at the moment. Like, we all said Claudio is a guy to put the title on, you know, to get that name recognition and everything. It's like, why do you got to go with Jericho?
So here's why I'll spin it and play devil's advocate in the positive light. Do I think having the belt on Jericho is better for a network to look at from a name standpoint, a value standpoint, as far as recognizable champion that wrestling fans obviously know and casual viewers know? Yes, I think that is absolutely 100% true. And it's more, his name is more powerful than Claudio's name, right? Story-wise, booking-wise, if I'm spinning it in a positive light, Ian Riccaboni did a great job on the call, just mm-hmm. being absolutely disgusted about how Honor No More, no pun intended, with the group in Impact. But Jericho being the anti-ROH guy that will steal to steal catchphrase from Eddie Guerrero, but basically being everything that is opposite of ROH could be good television. I just hate the fact that it's on a guy that has no ties to ROH at all. Like, Claudio made sense because he was ROH, right? Mm-hmm. He was there.
I was just thinking, something similar to that time.
It can work. But if nothing's imminent and Jericho is just walking around with this title for months, like, why do the switch?
Yeah.
And that's where I think it's coming in as just him collecting belts. Just like, oh, I haven't had this belt. Let me get this belt. And that turned me completely off for the whole night. Because that was my whole tunnel vision. Not the TV deal. Because once you get a TV deal, you get to switch belts back to somebody who you want to. Mm-hmm. So networks got to even think of that. I'm just going to put it on this man just because he got a name and Claudio don't. So I'm going to give him a TV deal. And just the first night it comes on TV, they're just going to switch belts.
I agree. Yeah, I don't think that the TV deal is going to happen just because Jericho's champion right now. Like, if the TV deal was going to happen, I feel like it kind of would have happened by now.
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying this before. Like, I don't know why. I get why Tony's pushing for TV, but the way his programming is set up, you could run a weekly hour ROH show on YouTube, just replace Darker Elevation.
Yes.
And run it
really good
until and run it on and run it on YouTube until you get TV.
And if you don't want to do it live right now, do what you're doing with Dark. Just tape it down Universal, you know, and just get the TV going.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Go to your Monday tapings at Universal to put your ROH show together, put it out every week, release it on whatever day you want to release it on, and go from there. Like, we've seen companies do that. MLW was strictly YouTube until they got TV, and it worked out great for them, right? You've seen it. You've seen other companies use the digital space that's available to them. NWA, exactly. Yeah. Same thing. Now, they went behind a paywall to help, you know, keep the company going and everything during the pandemic and all that. And then they came back to YouTube. So
you could say NXT did it in a different way, but, you know, they were digital until, you know, they got bumped into TV.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
Till the network, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this hasn't already been done when ROH has been back since April. Mm-hmm. We're September. You know what I mean? Like, why hasn't that already taken place? You got guys sitting around doing nothing who, and I mean, they referenced some people last night, like when Cage was in the Golden Ticket Royal Rumble last night, whatever the hell they called it. You know, they were referencing him being a part of the group in ROH and everything, but that's like, all right, he hasn't been on TV. He comes out for one match and he's going to go away for more months. So, like, you should have your rosters divided up to who's an AEW guy or girl, who's an ROH guy or girl. And you should be doing a weekly ROH show on the internet, on YouTube right now.
Yep.
For sure.
Like, that problem solved.
Yeah. I did see this week that Tony said, he's now started opening up talks with other streaming deals. So it doesn't look like this is definitely going to happen on HBO with Warner Brothers. So now there could be others.
Which is fine. But I mean, like, we see this all the time. But I mean, shows use the assets available to them until they're able to monetize and capitalize on it. And then they get on a different network or they're getting paid by YouTube, but yet they're signing FanDuel deals or they're signing to other, you know, networks. So I don't understand what the holdup is with not putting this on YouTube and having it be a weekly show right now.
Exactly.
Do you think he has the people in place to run it?
So we saw the organizational changes and shakeups. So again, you're April till the end of September. This should already be done.
Yeah.
Everything should be set.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes stuff, everything should be set.
Rumor is Colt Cabana is just behind the scenes of Ring of Honor. That's just what his job's going to be for the most part. So I'm sure there's a team just there. Tony said he's going to be the booker for it on top of all his AEW stuff. So,
I mean, yeah, you have your ring announcer, you have your broadcast team already set to go. Like, this should be done. Like, I feel like this is a ball drop that the fact it's September going into October and we don't have anything from a weekly standpoint with ROH.
I have a feeling next year we're going to be talking about what was worse, WWE's purchase of WCW and the invasion or AEW's purchase of Ring of Honor.
I mean,
yeah,
the way it's going so far. Now, don't get me wrong, the pay-per-views have been great. Two pay-per-views Tony's produced have been great. But just everything else, the ball's been dropped.
And I just feel like whatever steam you had with Ring of Honor
is dying.
You know, coming out of that first pay-per-view with Gresham and everything else, and then the situation with him as it, you know, evolved into the cluster that it was, putting the belt on Claudio right away. For me, like, the steam has run out, and they don't know, like, how are they going to be able to get it back?
Because sometimes when I am watching AEW and then, like, a Ring of Honor, like, title match comes up, I'll be like, oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
It does. Like, oh, I forgot about Ring of Honor.
So, yeah, best for business, I get it. Can you book it in a way that makes sense? Absolutely. Is Jericho the right guy to pull it off? He can. But overall, I just don't like the move. Like, I don't. And it was hot potatoed. It happened. He called him out 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my biggest thing, like, with the title changes. I mean, the Acclaimed, I love the Acclaimed and everything else. But at the same time, it's like, there was no story before All Out. They got a title shot. They were over to the moon. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
They booked the rematch and they put the belts on them. Mm-hmm. So what's your 6 month plan? You're just booking to the pop. And that's what I think the biggest thing I noticed from AEW this week, they book for the pop. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Definitely. You had definitely Saraya, the tag title match was for that.
You had Saraya, you had the tag team title change. Jericho wasn't to a pop, but it was done in that same manner. You had Muda showing up on Rampage last night. Like, you're booking for a pop, and I don't see a 4, 6, 8, 12 month plan with anybody right now.
I'd be surprised if the Acclaim, and I said this last week, will walk out of full gear with the title.
That means
this being a very quick title run for them.
So they just did it for the fans.
So I'm saying booking to the pop. Yeah. That's a horrible way to run the business.
WWE did it back in the day too.
So, and it didn't work for them.
Yeah. I mean, it's at times you're gonna do it. Because if you don't, then they're gonna sit, the fans are gonna be like, they don't listen to the fans. You know, so it's like
you can listen to the fans, but you can also do it in a way where you set yourself up for 6 months worth of stories.
But we said before, AEW doesn't need to give everybody a 6+ month run title reign too all the time, you know. So if they do something like this with the tag titles, cool. Just whoever they want to set up the next. There's plenty of tag teams in line for the title that can be.
And then after the Acclaim wins, what do they do? What's the first thing after the Acclaim wins? What do they do? They immediately go backstage. They cut to a backstage promo. Mm-hmm. With FTR saying, "Hey, good job, boys, but we've been number one contenders since April and haven't had a title match."
That quick note just on that. That's something that I noticed on Raw this week that I was just like, that's something they did a little bit better. Like when Loomis came up through the ring during the Miz TV segment and the next segment later, Corey's still talking about it, like freaked out over it. And it's just like, okay, like at least you're giving me continuity with it. You know, it just didn't happen like AEW happens, and then we move on to the next segment. So definitely something that AEW needs to start doing more, because like they do that way too much, where it's just they do something and they cut to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how many more title matches between the FTR till they get theirs? you see the guns through their name in the hat. Which I want to see now, since you put the belts on the claim.
Yeah, there's a story. There is a story, right? We already have started something established, right? Mm-hmm. But don't hotshot it, you know, 2 weeks from now and have it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
build it up to November.
What is it? Battle of the Belts is coming up in what, 2 weeks? So you're gonna get some hotshot matches here for that.
What did we say about that last week? That don't count.
well, they usually do a week of it. So, I mean, this week should have been the Battle of the Belts, because they pretty much put every freaking title on the line.
Yeah, and we've already seen, you know, Jericho and whatchamacallit are scheduled 2 weeks from, right? No, oh no, I'm getting my shows confused.
Hangman and
I'm thinking about
already.
Sheamus and Gunther 2 weeks what he cut last night. That's what I'm thinking about. But yeah, and then this whole dude, if you have to go on like a deep dive calculus type problem solving explanation as to how and when a person can cash in a title shot and why you're doing another Rumble to establish a number one contender, it's not good booking. Tony Khan was, I don't think it was Busted Open, but he was on Barstool. He was on Barstool talking to Big Cat, and he was explaining how the difference between MJF with the chip and the golden ticket Royal Rumble winner, whatever the hell that show is, the difference between the two and how it sets up for a title match and when they can get the title match, and MJF can get his title shot whenever he wants, but Tony has to sanction a match prior to the match happening. Like, it's just...
I'm confused what you just said.
Exactly.
It's one number one contender.
Yes.
Two number one contenders.
So how does it work? You have the golden ring, you have the brass ring, the golden ticket, and the chip.
Have they done the brass ring more than once? I know they did it the one time. Did they do it anymore?
I thought they
did. No. They only had it one time.
Didn't Scorpio win it?
Yeah, the big Sonic ring.
Mm-hmm. And Cage won it.
No, Cage won the chip.
Cage won the chip. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the chip's basically like the Money in the Bank briefcase.
You can cash
it. But it's not. But it's not, because you can't just...
You can't just
run down
and cash it in. Yeah.
You have to say, hey, I want my title shot, and then Tony has to sanction the match, and then the match is going to take place.
And then your brass ring is the next week.
And then
your golden ticket is in 2 weeks.
So the golden ticket, let's get into that. Hangman. Why Hangman? Like, to me, it doesn't make sense, because we all know that the title is not going to change hands.
Yes.
So why not, if you just feeding people to Moxley, which like they did with Brody King, why not have Roosh win it and let him face Moxley? Like, I don't understand why Hangman. Makes no sense.
Mox need a large supper.
Honestly, this is part of my issue with Impact. That it's just constantly the same people recycled. And that's all Tony's doing here. It's the same people recycled in the title match.
Yeah, but Impact is more due to a roster size standpoint.
It's like what they're doing with, and we'll get into this when we talk about Bound for Glory in a couple weeks, but it's just like, here, we got Eddie Edwards back. Every time there's a champion, you got to do Eddie. You got to do Eric Young. You got to do Moose. You got to do Sammy Callahan. It's like it's the same people. Hits. Yeah.
Hey. They got their five, you know?
And you got to level up each time you have a pay-per-view.
But it just feels meaningless, though.
Because exactly. It is meaningless.
And like Steve said, because you know what's going to happen. You know the outcome already. So, not saying they can't really actually have a decent match, but...
Don't put that one up.
No. You'll get kicked us off.
But I agree with that last point, Ty.
Yeah, it is. It's just seriously pointless. It didn't happen Hangman again if he's like, okay, none of the younger talent's going to get over on this.
Hangman got to pay for his port. That's a punishment.
I guess so.
That's a punishment. Get fed the box.
It didn't make sense. The other thing that I thought the ball was dropped on, and I understand why, like, I get it, but the taped Rampage. Yeah. If you're going to do Rampage 2 hours live. The first time since
the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Right. If you're gonna, you got to go live. You have to. And shout out to everybody that was in attendance there on Wednesday night. I know Kenny was there live, so shout out Kenny putting in that marathon. Yeah. But you
on a weekday,
you had on a Wednesday, you had the lights out match with Starks and Hobbs go on. It started after midnight.
Did y'all get home okay?
The train didn't stop for you, did it?
Yeah, I think it was
advertised to take mass transit.
And they got to stop doing these lights out matches as the main event. Just because you're doing a lights out match does not mean it has to be a main event.
Well, I mean, it's unsanctioned, so they have to do AEW programming first and then say, hey, we wash our hands because of what these guys will do to each other. So,
hey, Triple H and Shawn Michaels had an unsanctioned match at SummerSlam 2002. That wasn't the main event.
Very good point. But yeah, I just thought the ball was dropped. Not that I watched Rampage last night for the most part.
Made it halfway through.
I didn't catch it yet. I just saw what Kenny put on TikTok the other night.
So I mean, it was good. But again, we go back to like booking for the pop, like Muda coming out, which is great. I get it because it set up his final match, and he's wrestling Sting in Japan in January. So I'm like, it was great to see Muda in a U.S. ring one more time. I don't need him to go out there weekly and have matches, but just to see him one last time on his final run in a U.S. ring, I'm cool with it.
Don't wait till he passes the torch and there's a young guy in the Great Muda Mask in February. Then he'll be pushing a young guy.
This entrance is going to be in the Reigns segment.
That was straight trash. And again, the two legends showing up, young talent. Sorry, buddy, but you got to take all this. And see, to set up a match in Japan, do that shit in Japan. Don't do it here.
I want that on the shirt.
Fuck out of here.
You got to invest the U.S. crowd to watch Japan.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I mean, you had...
Where's that wall button at?
You had a match in Japan that set up, you know, an AEW title match here. Juice Robinson getting a title shot because he won a match in Japan.
You're absolutely right. 1991.
Hold on. So we have Juice and Hangman?
Yes, Juice won a match in Japan. I forget the match that he won, but he's wrestling Mox for the AEW title this week on Dynamite based off of him winning that match.
We have championship matches every week.
And then Hangman got his ticket. Then Hangman got his ticket that he'll cash in 2 weeks. And then MJF will surprisingly sanction his match for full gear, probably. I don't know.
I think Tony Storm set up that Juice and Moxley match. Got to be somebody in the middle to set that match up.
They have a problem.
How many times we need to repeat ourselves about the things that AEW is doing wrong and how they need to improve on it? Because I don't know, they're not listening. That's for sure.
No, but they've had over 1 million viewers 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Although it was a sharp decline this week, and I guarantee you this Wednesday they're under 1 million.
Yeah.
Because the Punk and Elite stuff will be about a month old almost, and they're not capitalizing on any of it because of the investigations and potential legal ramifications of it. So whatever steam and buildup you had from that to actually turn it into a work from a shoot, that's gone by the waysides. And from all reports, Punk is going to get bought out and not be in AEW anymore.
So, I mean, you had the Grand Slam thing. I think people were actually interested in that because they set this up like it's a big deal. So I think that's why they got the 1 million people this week. But yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to get 1 million this upcoming week.
That may be Ty's last comment may like makes the most sense ever.
It is.
it's the multiverse.
Yeah. It is.
That's what they're trying. It's forbidden door is a real thing.
Like I said, I'm.
It ain't even a door. It's a gaping.
I mean, the longest running story they have is Jungle Boy.
Yes, it is.
And Luchasaurus looked like the biggest dumbass last night because he was behind Jungle Boy, stood outside the ring, seething, while Christian was at the top of the ramp, and they shot it behind Luchasaurus. So you see over Luchasaurus' shoulder, Jungle Boy Christian. He waits until Jungle Boy turns all the way around, and then he slides in the ring to attack him. Like, that's not how you creep up on somebody. Like, you are the worst. You are the worst purse snatcher ever. If that's how you're trying to snatch purses, you're terrible at it.
I want you to see it coming.
Yeah. It just made no, like, I don't know, man. The booking to the pop is starting to make me less and less interested.
It used to be Wednesday night for a while was my night to watch wrestling. And it's slowly, it's the past couple weeks, it's just been, I'm more thinking that on Monday nights instead of Wednesday nights. Like, there's been a couple weeks now with Dynamite where it's just like, oh shit, yeah, Dynamite's on in 10 minutes. I'm not excited for it anymore.
I'd rather watch reruns of Friends, and I never watch Friends.
Hey, but I do have to work.
Give me about 3 minutes to close here.
All right, real quick, before we get into WWE, Victory Road last night, Impact. Good show. You know, wasn't their best outing, but it was good. Bobby Fish debuted. Saw a lot of people clowning that online, saying Triple H sent him the voicemail, so he had to go to Impact. So I was like, oh, that
got to get your penance in an Impact before you return.
He sent him the voicemail. And then there was words came out that he tried to get Cole and O'Reilly to ask for their release, and they both told him to go pound salt. And then apparently snitched to Tony Khan, which caused the legal team in AEW to send a cease and desist for tampering to WWE. So we have, as the world turns, the soap opera drama between the companies continues there. But Impact, I enjoyed the show last night. They're getting ready to start their run for Bound for Glory, which we'll get into their, I guess, their WrestleMania-esque hype show of the year. Between that and Slammiversary would be the two for me in Impact.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Deep cover.
That forbidden door. Who else is going to show up in the Impact Zone next week? Your boys are gone. They're stepping.
See the Eric Snowden of professional wrestling.
A whistleblower.
All right. So yeah. But no, if you can go back and rewatch Victory Road, like I said, it's solid wrestling. It is what it is. Not too high, not too low, but just a solid show there from Impact. WWE. Where we want to start? Monday night, Friday night, the best Monday that was. Night. Monday night. Listen, it's NFL season. I'm watching football. I watched Seth and Bobby because I wanted to see that match. I'm glad they put it on first. Chris, you brought up the point they promoted the first hour a little differently this week.
Yeah, I felt like they were promoting the first hour as being the main stuff of the show, just at least the interesting things, because of the football viewers that they knew were going to step away. Because you kicked off with Seth and Lashley, and then right after that, you had Owens and Theory. So it's just like, those were the two matches I was most looking forward to seeing on Monday night, and you put those in the first hour, and it's just like...
And this week, too, they didn't have just one Monday night game to contend with. They had two Monday night games to contend with. Now, granted, both of those games turned into blowouts, so I was able to switch back and forth more than usual. But the Bills and Titans, that kicked off at what, 7:30? So that was on before Raw, and then Eagles Vikings was about 8:25, 8:30ish. So they had that, like,
some crossover.
A little bit of crossover, but they were, from the jump, they were competing against the NFL, which is just continues to be a ratings giant.
Yeah.
It's insane. You're getting 15 million viewers on an Amazon game. That's ridiculous for a paid subscription.
Thursday night.
With Raw, even since the whole Triple H era has started, it's still as good as it's as better as it's been. It's just like Raw just cannot be 3 hours. Like, it's just, you still see those issues of Raw being 3 hours in the programming. And I felt like this week was another example of that. Just, you had really good stuff in the first hour, and then just like, by the time I end up finishing the show, but just like, I was like tuned out of it like the last hour.
Yeah,
I agree. I'll agree with that. I thought SmackDown was a much better show this week, start to finish, than Raw.
I still have issues with SmackDown. It but it's getting a little bit better. Like, my issues with the opening, like, it was a good opening, but I had issues with it 2 weeks later and not the week after the pay-per-view. Like, to me, it's just like, okay, we moved on from this. Like, why are we rehashing all this again? Like, that was talked about last week.
Oh, so you didn't like the explanation for why Solo was yeah. brought up and everything.
Like, that should have been last week. Like,
so I thought here's where I thought they went wrong, and where I think it would have made the segment 10 times better than what it was, because I enjoyed the segment. I enjoyed Sami Zayn. I'll say it again. He continues to be an MVP.
Gold.
I'm ready for the payoff, though.
I think they got a little bit more room they can work with it before you get to the payoff. But I think last night, what would have made it a grand slam instead of just a two-run home run is, as Heyman's breaking down the explanation for why Solo was there, and he's running through saying it's not my idea, it's not the Tribal Chief's idea, it wasn't even the elders in the Samoan dynasty's idea. It was Sami Zayn's idea. And give the credit to Sami. And that's how Sami gets the honorary Ooh shirt. I like the way they did it with making him feel like, oh, we're kicking you out. Like, here's your t-shirt. But and they did, like, they did a great job of it. Everybody, Roman was tremendous in it. Sami was great. Like, they had me. I'm like, oh, they're doing this right now? Like, they had okay.
me. I saw the shirt Monday and he still had me.
Yeah, exactly, right? Normally you get spoiled by the merchandise being released. You're like, okay, but the way they did it. But I think if they would have just made that tweak and put the idea behind Sami, because that would have got Jay way more frustrated with Sami, right? Like, he's this is who's getting the credit. Like,
that needs to be a long term story.
Oh yeah, that would have been good there. Roman and Jay say that. You say that Sami talked to the elders and told them to do. That would have.
Yeah, you know, like, above Sami, everybody. Like Sami
higher being, power.
That would have been good. That would have.
I did like Sami being, I think Paul was talking about conspiracy theories in his promo. I was like, well, there's Sami. Like, that's all Sammy's been for 2 years.
Like, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about, like, Sami being Leonidas and he's climbing a mountain to speak to the Samoan elders to get their blessings. to have Solo come up, like, but yeah, I thought that's the only thing that I would have changed just to make it a little bit more from a story standpoint on where you can go with it, because like I said, that makes Jay even more frustrated with him, like, and you saw after Sami got the shirt, he went up to Jimmy, they did their handshake, you know, he's hugging Solo's hugging him back, like, even Roman put his arms around him, and Jay's standing face. There, like,
I went on Twitter just to search the memes. Oh,
tremendous.
Jay's, like, face is great.
I will say, adding Sami, and then now with Solo, like, the bloodline went from feeling very stale to being right back, hey, this is must see. I want to see what happens each and every single week.
Yeah, I was just bummed with them taking the title off of Solo this week on NXT. I get it.
Yeah,
but it's just like it was like that. It was that extra piece of the bloodline. Him having that title in NXT,
And that continuity also NXT main roster. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's good putting eyes on the belt too.
Yeah, yeah, because he defended it last week on SmackDown, which was nice,
especially that belt. Something different. Yeah.
Because
if he would have lost last week, that title match wouldn't have counted because he was never sanctioned to win it in the first place.
Yeah, it's like you thought they would have covered that before SmackDown, but
you could have had him in that ladder match and then lost it like that.
Yeah, you could have.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't have him. Yeah. Don't have him just drop the belt. Like, put him actually in the match.
Yeah.
But, hey, listen. You weren't sanctioned. So because you're not sanctioned, we're going to have a ladder match. We're going to put the belt up and make you sanctioned. Yo, what makes that comment even better is as I'm reading it, I'm hearing it in Sami Zayn's voice.
Yeah. Is Baby Oos going to be his rap name?
But when he goes to hit row, yeah.
Hey Rikishi, let me borrow Baby Oos for a minute. That you want to talk about like sports entertainment comedy gold on TV? Like, like I said, Sammy, and he talked about this on Stone Cold's podcast. You know, that came out sometime in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Great interview there with them two. But like he talked about the stuff with Jackass and everything and how like that match is the match he is the most proud of. And they broke that match down in such a way that it's like that's sports entertainment. Yeah. And he's just been on fire with everything he touches and has done since that time.
Yeah, I agree.
And I've enjoyed Sammy since he started NXT.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, like I've been a Sammy guy since day one for sure. But I'm just like right now he's elevated himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's on a hot streak right now where like yo stay at the crafts table and keep rolling them out mm-hmm. because you're making everybody money.
I like them when he go Chris.
No, go ahead, Don.
Whenever Solo beat up Ricochet and Mad Cat, and Sammy was like, I was about to do that.
His timing is great. Like he knows exactly when to step in, when to bow out. His facials, his mannerisms, just everything. I mean, when you're getting guys to pop and break live on TV,
yeah,
and getting people to turn their heads, and, you know, like that stuff right there is tremendous. And I said it way back when him and Roman first started that first segment they had. I'm like, oh, this is Rockin' Hurricane. Like this is that type of comedy gold that you don't get. I mean, you see it with a couple people, but
you loved it with Brock too. Like yeah, saying probably, how much fun Brock was having with him. Like
you know, it's Rock Hurricane, it's Austin and Angle. Like you get that type of just you want to see what they're gonna do this week because it hits its mark every single time. So
and I'm not so, like, before, like, this all started with Vince. But the thing, like, I just felt like at some point, you know, Sammy was going to get removed from the bloodline. And it's just like, where's he going to go from here? I'm not worried about that now. Because I know his stock's rising more and more every week. And with Triple H, who he was a Triple H guy in NXT for so long, I know he's going to take care of him.
If this brings KO back into the picture.
It's very well could.
I'd enjoy it.
They've already tried to cover that a little bit, so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you get the bloodline as one of the teams in the Survivor Series War Game match.
Yeah,
not for sure.
It's just who are you going to put against them?
Yeah,
and but how's that?
Have Roman in it after coming off of Crown Jewel in November, and then like what 2 weeks later is War Games.
What are you going to do, 4v4 or 5v5? So, like, if you do 4v4, you can have Roman out, the Usos, Solo, and Sammy. The winner of whoever pins a Bloodline member or wins the match gets the next title shot against Roman. Okay, I can maybe see that buying that as a story.
And you could see Sammy taking that pin.
And you can see Sammy taking that pin.
Yeah,
which could lead to breakup.
If you have KO pinning Sammy, like you can see that.
Oh yeah.
So like you can, there's things you can do with it without having to have Roman inside the cage to make it work.
You set your friend up.
Yeah, it's just how are you gonna build the other team? Because you look around, you know, the only other team I want to see, but technically they're both heel groups, is Imperium. Because I want Gunther and Roman, like. That's what I want to see. So, is that the best way or to hotshot it to go into Survivor Series with it? No, but I don't know how else you're going to get a team together to go up against the Bloodline if that's the one half of the equation.
They're going to at least have to start that match before Crown Jewel, at least like really get it set up at Crown Jewel. Maybe that's the ending to that match.
In the main event last night, so here's my thing, right? What was yesterday's date? 9/23, right?
Yeah.
What was being promoted for 9/23?
White Rabbit.
White Rabbit, right? This whole freaking night, I'm waiting for this White Rabbit payoff. Yeah. And they get into this main event, and I'm watching as the clock's ticking down, and I'm like, they're not going to pay this off at all? Like, did I miss something? Like, was I not paying attention? Sure enough, I missed it. And it was a freaking QR code that you that you took. You watched the little rabbit go into a maze, and it led to a next clue, which is
Monday,
the city for where Raw's at Monday night. So, like, what are we doing with this?
You're going down a rabbit hole.
Literally.
I think until it's on TV, like, until they act, like, right now it's just this QR code in the background. I think until they actually do something on TV, I think that's whenever you'll get the sense of something's about to happen. I think right now you're just in the teasing stage, even though they put the merch out already.
Yeah, but Steve, I was with you too. I was like, hold on, there's 2 minutes left. It's 9:57.
Yeah, I missed the QR code, but I saw people posting about it on Twitter, and I was just like, oh, I was like, well, that's it. That's that for the night. So,
and for those of you that watch Lucha Underground, the White Rabbit was Karrion Kross. And he was revealed as the White Rabbit, and they kept talking about the White Rabbit and Paul London and his people and everything else, and led to Cross's debut in Lucha Underground. So I came across this on Twitter, and I want to shout out RK Krefel. I probably pronounced that wrong. But he said White Rabbit. Everybody's just assuming it's Bray Wyatt, right? Mm-hmm. The play on words, White Rabbit, Wyatt, like all that. But he said, hey, this will probably never happen, but what if the White Rabbit is Bray Wyatt? Okay. Scarlet is Abby the Witch. Karrion Kross, or I'm sorry, Bray Wyatt's the head. Karrion Kross is the White Rabbit. Scarlet is Abby the Witch. Dexter Lumis is Mercy the Buzzard. Strowman is Huskus. And it's Bray Stable.
I'm okay with that.
And I said, I love fantasy booking stuff, especially whenever you put it out there like this, because it would never happen. No. But if you saw it play out, it would make total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. True.
Like each one of those people he listed right there makes total sense for the characters.
And if you get rid of the funhouse element now and like just make it those people, like you can make that so much darker and so much more interesting.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
It's just him being the puppet master or whatever over these people. I mean, taking elements of the Wyatt family and just changing it. And Braun's already been a part of, so he's already there, you know. But
I mean, and it doesn't fit where Kross and Strowman are at right now.
Yeah.
Lumis most closely fits the Mercy the Buzzard type, you know, that you can slot him into that role. I love Scarlet being Abby. Like that's a tremendous comp in comparison to that. But
Kross ended last night in his segment and the choking Drew out, and he goes, That was our plan. And I thought,
this is what we wanted.
This is what we wanted. Yeah. And it's just like right now you're probably thinking it could just be Kross and Scarlet. But what if, you know, it's like, that's exactly where I was thinking last night with that. Like, what if there is that next level up?
Somebody said, imagine you expecting Bray Wyatt and it's Joe Gacy. That's why I don't want it to be Bray. I want it to be so fantasy like Johnny Wrestling. When that happened, I just want the letdown.
Like if it was Kross doing something, like if this was Kross, cool. Like it's just doing a different level for him and like really getting him solidified. But I mean, like they're definitely teasing it right now that it's like that's going to be Bray, just like the fonts and the quotes and everything that they've been using.
Now, if it's not Bray, does that disappointment level diminish whatever this payoff is with this White Rabbit?
If it's Kross, probably.
Yeah, it depends on.
Yeah, it looks
like somebody already established, I think.
If it's Gacy, 100% disappointment.
They'll continue going for 6 to 9 months until Aleister Black comes back.
And that's a whole other question. When's he if he comes back? His rumor is that he has to sit out his contract.
That's a four-year deal that he has.
Yeah.
So,
But yeah, I just like I saw that being fantasy booked, and I'm like,
it was Adam Rose. Wasn't Bray the bunny at one point, or not Bray? Wasn't Strowman the bunny at some point?
Strowman, yeah.
So yeah, but no, that's
that would be good.
That's good stuff there. So, yeah, I'm more looking forward to WWE getting well. Crown Jewel is what, the end of November?
November 5th, and then, yeah, that's November 5th, and then Survivor Series is the 26th, so 3 weeks between.
When's that Extreme Rules?
Is that the 8th, okay. October 8th.
Is that a Sunday?
No, actually, I was looking that up this week. I think the rest of the pay-per-views for the year are all Saturdays.
Oh. Saturday.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, because it's the October 8th is Extreme Rules. The 22nd is going to be Halloween Havoc. That's gonna be a Peacock event instead of being on TV. And then the 5th is Crown Jewel, 26th Survivor Series. Oh, and then Bound for Glory is Friday the 7th, October 7th.
Ooh. So, okay.
Yeah. And then wherever Full Gear is the 19th, so Saturday the 19th.
That's Saturday too.
So, yep. Yeah. So yeah, everything right now for the rest of the year is a Saturday show.
I'm liking that.
Yeah, yes. You do. Get some because more content out of us.
it's because the NFL's back too, so you don't want to go against that Sunday.
That's true.
Yeah, you have a better chance going up against college football Saturday night NFL. Than you do NFL Sunday night.
Yeah.
So. All right. Anything else from WWE wise that you guys want to cover or get into? Do we have a debate this topic this week?
Nothing this week.
You guys are slacking on the production.
Nothing to debate this week, I guess.
All right. Well, then hug it. Let's drink a beer.
Chug.
I will say this. I'm not looking forward to this.
Not me either.
I was surprised by the person that picked this.
Well, I think I know why he picked it, because it was going to be the reason why I picked it, because of the can itself.
Jason was not an NWO fan, though.
I hate the NWO, but the can was just, I figured it'd be great for the show.
All right, Jay, you want to tee it up? What we got this week?
We have Haze World Order HWO from Magnanimous Brewing. I don't know where that's at.
It's a double IPA, which I don't do IPAs. And if you're going to double an IPA, but it's a double IPA with Mosaic Cashmere.
It's going to be
Pacific Sunrise Hops.
What is Mosaic? That's a painting, isn't it?
That's technically three hops, wouldn't that be? So it's...
Hey, look, Abe, look at that last comment.
Jay already does that.
No. Magnanimous Brewing is out of Tampa, Florida. Great.
Yep.
Now, Jay. So when Jay picked this up, little behind the scenes, peel the curtain back real quick before we drink this. Jay picked this up, one of his picks. Gets up to the cash register and they ring that sumbitch up. Sticker shock. This was what, $27 for a four pack?
I think $25.49, yeah.
So yeah, he went to the high society show. again, I'm married with kids. I can't do that. Single
guy. I didn't know. I'm like, I thought she rung some up twice.
Oh,
so we'll see how this goes. Again, love the can.
And they did the font the whole way around, so it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I don't like the smell at all.
You can smell that already.
Oh.
That's all hot. That is all hot.
No.
No. There's only one beer I think Donald's hated more.
That sour?
No, the Lou.
The Lou that
he wanted to spit that thing out as soon as he took a sip of it.
No.
This is a zero for me.
Zero.
I can't do IPAs. Just aren't. I'm not that guy. I've liked maybe two IPAs. Stone Cold's was one, and I think we might have had one other one that was somewhat drinkable. But other than that, keep it away from my lips. I'm not doing it. Pause. That's what she said. Can't do it. Won't do it. This is zero for me.
To me, it's drinkable, but I wouldn't buy another one. I'm going to go with two.
I agree with you, Jason. It's I don't hate IPAs, so it's like it is very hoppy. Like I've had worse, but it's very hoppy, and I get that little bit of the burn from that 8.5 too. So
That burn's there for sure.
Yeah, so it's okay, but yeah, I agree. It wouldn't be anything I drink again. I'll give it a two as well.
Zero, completely zero.
Now listen, we're not going to shit on it just because. You know, we don't like it. We know you guys out there love IPAs. If you're an IPA drinker,
I think IPA drinkers will like this.
Yeah, is one that you'll go and grab. Now you may need to save up for a month to go buy a four pack, but yeah, it's there. So if you have it out and about in your local brewery or local beer distributor, pick it up. Because I think it will be one that you enjoy from an IPA standpoint. It's just not on my level. Can't do it. So we're definitely not cheersing in this bullshit.
No need to.
No, not at all. Not at all. Kick it over.
No. Why are we even going sports?
Well, we're going sports because, surprisingly, baseball is very interesting right now. And one of the interesting things of baseball got taken away last night. So congratulations to Albert Pujols hitting 700 home runs.
Congrats.
And back-to-back, he homered in back-to-back innings against the Dodgers last night. Hit 699 and 700.
Got that alert for 699. I was like, cool. And then I got that alert for 700. I was like, whoa, wasn't expecting that.
right. So fourth man ever to hit 700 home runs. Maybe the last guy to hit 700 home runs. It's a long time.
Who's the next closest?
I didn't do the stats and research. We need a stats guy to do that. I don't have time to do that. But yeah, so he hit 700. Aaron Judge is still currently at 60 home runs. Has not tied or no? Did he hit 61? I can't remember.
I don't even know. I didn't
see anything this week.
Anyways, he's still on track to break Roger Maris's American League home run record. Now, the reason why I bring these up, Jay, in sports, and I heard this last night on the radio whenever I was going to pick my wife up. So they were talking about the balls themselves, pause, and the worth of them. So which one would be worth more money from a collector standpoint? And based off of the websites that project the values of these collectible items, the Aaron Judge home run ball is projected to bring in about $2 million, $2.5 million. But they don't even they think Pujols is 700 may only get like $100K, $200K at the most. And I found that interesting. I'm like, well, why? I mean, 700th. He's the fourth person ever to hit 700 home runs. The only people in front of him are Mays, Ruth, and Bonds.
For 700?
Yeah.
Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, and Barry Bonds.
Once in a generation type thing.
Uh-huh. I do got the next person who's closest, which is Miguel Cabrera, in which he's about to retire, and 506.
Oh yeah, no.
And then after that is Nelson Cruz, and he has 459.
So, me, man,
I think the name, not or the team.
So it would be in the Yankees.
It'd be in the Yankees. That and I think they still hold that number as
this being the number.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that. It's just why, like, you would think those 700 would
be. Yeah.
Because that's a milestone and a mark that, like, based off of the numbers we just read off, it may not be done again.
Yeah, no.
Who's going to play 20-plus years? And you know what I mean? Like, and Pujols missed time. Nobody thought he would get to 700. He had 6 home runs going into the All-Star break. Like,
yeah,
who would have thought he would have been able to get this hot down the stretch to actually get to 700? So, hopefully it doesn't come out that he put on some clear and, you know. He did a little bump to get across the finish line in the second half of the season.
I'm sure there's an investigation already.
They're already talking about that. As soon as he hit him, you know, those things came up. And with Judge, too. Yeah, and with Judge also, it came up.
You know, the powers were on both of those home run tours. As a pitcher, do you give up that pitch?
I want to be in the record books.
I'm not trying to give up the pitch.
I'm trying to be in the record books. Here's a softball.
No. I'm out there like Kenny Powers. F you, you're out. Like, I'm not, no.
Yeah.
You're not hitting off of me.
Yeah, you're not hitting off of me. I'll hit you with the pitch.
He's pitching
around. I got vibranium bat.
That's better than pitching around. Don't give me 4 straight balls or throwing them in the dirt. I'd rather hit you.
I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you.
Yeah, so other than that, I really don't have much excitement for baseball. Getting ready to finish up the regular season, get into postseason. The season's too damn long. Right. Baseball should not be finishing its World Series in November.
100-game season. Mm-hmm. I've been saying that for years, decades. 100 games. That's all I need.
It'll sounds make the season right for the end so of the much season, more exciting.
Mm-hmm. So, I need to end it in like the middle of October.
I feel the same way about hockey. They need to shorten that up too.
It used to finish in October.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Reggie Jackson was called Mr. October.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be watching baseball games in the parka.
No, not at all.
Fall fantasy.
That was a couple years ago.
Called a fall fantasy.
When the Colorado Rockies made it, and they had tassel caps and mittens on out there playing. It's like,
yeah, and it was snowing.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like we got snow on the field, and we're trying to play a World Series game. Come on now.
That's why they call it the Fall Classic.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. Shouldn't be in November.
Mm-hmm.
Football, we touched on. Ratings juggernaut again. Steelers
are what it was officially, 15 million?
15 million. It was their largest sign up on Amazon Prime since the very first Prime Day.
Okay.
So
this game?
Not this. The first game.
The first, not the Steelers and Browns, the one the last the week, one. Their first yeah. one.
Yeah, Chiefs and Chargers.
Chiefs and Chargers. It was the largest sign up day for Prime accounts and Prime subscriptions since the first Prime Day. They had roughly over 15 million people.
I wonder what the rating was, because WPXI here in Pittsburgh ended up airing the game, which that was a surprise.
Well, so that 15 million for the Chargers Chiefs, that counted the Kansas City market and LA market. So they are factoring the local markets into the ratings. Okay.
It was the same stream for me.
So the broadcast on Thursday locally was
it's support.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Portal, yeah. So and I liked Al Michaels and Herb Street. Herbie, college guy, been on Game Day for a while, does a great job announcing games, but he got to brush up a little bit more on the NFL stuff. He got Kenny Pickett's name wrong until, you know, 5 or 6 times until the fourth quarter. It's like, dude, he was just at Pitt last year. Like,
what do you call him? Ryan Pickens?
Ryan Pickett. Whatever.
Tony Gonzalez called him Kenny Powers in the beginning, the pregame. Like, dang.
Yeah.
JR making the drinks for the pregame?
Hey, that pregame show, I will say, I love Ryan Fitzpatrick on there. He was sitting out there. He had a Minka Fitzpatrick jersey on, hence the last name. Like, he was tremendous to watch. That man is is really he'll be really good at the TV deal.
Him and Richard Sherman play off each other good. They do.
Yeah. So, but the game itself,
we could just skip this whole segment.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to deep dive in and stay long, but I will say this: Canada gets bashed for being a bad OC, and he has not been good. However, Amazon lets you watch the All 22, the game from the All 22. So the All 22, for which you guys don't know, if you're not familiar with it, the All 22 is the tape that the coaches get, and it shows all 22 players on the field. So it's a bird's eye view. You can see everything going on, right? If you're a coach, best way to watch the game, because you can see everything, you can tell what stuff was missed and everything else, right? There's a lot of the blame. Not one person's responsible for it. The greatest catch of the year by George Pickens, and I'm saying that because there's not a catch that's going to top that catch. My man was literally laying horizontally in the air and caught a ball. Mm-hmm. That catch, there's a wide receiver running a post route that is wide open, and Mitch never looks his way. So there were multiple plays where people are wide open, and Mitch, because he's not a good quarterback and doesn't go through his progressions, mm-hmm. is missing people. The O-line, I thought that was the best game that they played. They were moving people around. There were holes. The running game was good. Jaylen Warren, 7.5 yards a carry. Give my man more touches. It'll only help with Najee, keeping him fresher. So there are – a couple of positives, but they got a murderous schedule right now coming up. So they'll be, you know, potentially looking at 1-6 going into the bye week.
Yeah. They have Jets, Tampa Bay, Jets, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Miami,
Philly
before the bye week.
Good luck.
And all those teams are hitting on cylinders already.
Right. Yeah. College football today, Donald, you have Tennessee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Big time matchup there. I'm a Volunteers fan today because I will never root for the Gators in anything.
Looking for that Facebook back and forth.
Yeah, man, this is how I became a thing, a Tennessee fan, because I hate Florida to death.
Yeah.
Hate them.
So, Squeeze, if you're listening out there.
Oh, welcome. You probably got me on Facebook, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then speaking of Florida, Tim Tebow dropped a little jewel last week and let out that there is a documentary in the works regarding that 2008 Florida Gator team. So literally Tebow, Hernandez, Kellen Winslow,
Cam Newton,
Percy Harvin.
They don't got Cam on there? Because he was the backup quarterback.
He was the backup before he got kicked out.
Got kicked off the team, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For stealing a laptop. So that you want to talk about one of the most must-see documentaries ever. People have been calling for this for years.
Yeah.
Like, all led by old Captain Finger Gun himself, Urban Meyer. So.
Is that where we get canceled?
A little grab your goober. He's out there. And then lastly, I don't know if you saw it, and tennis fans, we touched on it. We don't have many tennis fans. I get it. But they showed Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer sitting next to each other, I guess, after Roger's last match. And both of them are, like, sitting there. I guess they had, like, some video package or something playing.
In tears.
Like. Yeah. And I thought it was a really cool sports moment that your biggest rival and you have that much respect and admiration for each other, even though that was your biggest rival, that you guys both are, like, having that type of moment and reaction to one of them hanging it up and calling it quits. It was just a cool sports moment. Like, if you're a sports fan, like, that's an awesome sports moment that anybody can appreciate if you've played any type of sport. So. All right, anything else? Nope. Good. All right, one got to go.
right, come off of the Nickelodeon sitcoms last week. The people picked Hey Dude and The Adventures of Pete and Pete. Which one gotta go?
Pete and Pete.
That should have been Clarissa.
But... I'd say Hey Dude. I think
this should have been Hey Dude.
We think of Pete and Pete.
Pete and Pete gotta go.
Oh, it do.
It was close. It was really close this week. Clarissa actually got the least amount of votes.
Yeah. Everybody loves Melissa John.
And where's your MJH shirt? Hashtag MJH.
It's coming in the mail. It's coming soon.
All right. What do we got this week, Jay?
So I went with video game movie franchises. Criteria, it had to be theatrical release. It had to be live action and more than one movie.
Oh, look at coming in with criteria. I love it. I love it.
You didn't like the list. Okay, one thing. So are we voting on the video game themselves or the movies?
The movies.
Okay.
The movies, yes.
That would have been better clarification in the title there.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's your fault or Chris's fault, but
he just said video game franchises to me.
Is that what I put in there?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Okay, so video game movie franchise.
Movies in there. My bad.
Okay, movie franchises for video games. Gotcha.
So for me, this comes down to
this one's actually kind of easy for me, I think.
All right, well, then go ahead, Chris. Kick it off.
There hasn't been a Mortal Kombat movie I've liked. I'm going to go with Mortal Kombat off of there. I haven't even seen the Sonic movies yet, but... But the Mortal Kombat movies are just not enjoyable for me. That can go.
Who wants next?
I'll go next. Tomb Raider's going nowhere just because of...
Angelina?
Yeah. Angelina Jolie. Mortal Kombat stand. I really enjoy Sonic, surprisingly. I think Resident Evil overdid it with too many. I think the more they did, the more they took away from the franchise. So I'm going to go Resident Evil, got to go.
The only clearest adaptation of any video game that turned into movie was Sonic. Sonic feels like I was actually playing the game on their action scenes. But the one that got to go for me here is Resident Evil. I am one of the big Resident Evil fans as a gamer, but those movies were nothing like the video game were. They just took the license and did whatever they want to do with it. For the main character to be somebody that's not even in the game, they just took it and just threw it over the ship.
Well, I mean, Mortal Kombat did with the last movie, the newest movie that they put out, they had the main character wasn't in the game, but it was a setup to have him in the game for the new one.
But at least it was Mortal Kombat. Resident Evil wasn't Resident Evil.
That's true.
And some of the movies, they weren't.
The first Mortal Kombat movie was like, age-wise and that, it was so cheesy, it was good. Like, to me, it fit into the Kung Fu-esque as far as movies go. Like, some of them are so bad that they're actually good.
I was thinking of the worst to put as a list, but there were so many bad games that
the second Mortal Kombat movie, not this newest one, but the second Annihilation. That was terrible.
Oh, yeah. That was bad. That jumped the gun for that.
Yeah. But this last Mortal Kombat movie, I went to the theaters and watched it. Like, I was excited for it and I enjoyed it. Because I went in knowing like it was what it was. So I wasn't expecting, you know, to be over the moon, but I feel like I got my money's worth there in that theater.
I wasn't expecting to be over the moon, but man, like for me, that movie just wasn't good at all.
Yes, it was. That was carried by Shang Tsung. That actor is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I'm kicking Resident Evil off this list. That's just like, I can't even sit through like, And Tomb Raider isn't much better, but I got to give it to Jay. You got Angelina out there swinging around on vines. Pause. I'll stick with that.
I think that her first movie kind of gave video game movies a whole new life and franchise in Hollywood.
For Resident Evil, the second movie, Apocalypse, was probably the closest adaptation to a video game. But after that, it completely just...
I enjoyed 1 and 2. And then
one was okay. Man, one was a little shaky, but at least it dealt with something, you know. Two was the best.
Then once you added that title in the post, Chris. The whole thing about it.
All right, that's it. Let's get over to final thoughts.
All right, boys and girls, thanks for tuning in to episode 104 and celebrating our second birthday with us today. But make sure you like and follow us on all social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at DumbMarksPod. For all the links and more, and all previous episodes of the show, head over to DumbMarksPod.com. Gentlemen, do we have anything for final thoughts, or is Steve, you going to wrap it up?
No, I got a couple quick hitters if you guys don't have nothing else.
I have it. That last call, just killing.
Hey, but that Street Fighter was my favorite movie.
I enjoyed that, but that was one of the worst lists.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Just a couple quick hitters as far as wrestling goes. It was announced Victory Road last night that Raven will be inducted into the Impact Hall of Fame. He got his shout out there.
If you didn't watch TNA, like, early days, like, when they were just NWA, TNA, and pay-per-views, and right after they broke away from the NWA, Raven did a lot of good stuff in that era.
Yeah, absolutely. For you fat kids here locally, which, you know, me and Chris are the chubby ones on the show, but Donald and Jason are definitely fat kids at heart. Bloomfield, there's a restaurant in Bloomfield called Apteka. Mm-hmm. And it was named one of America's 50 best restaurants.
It's kind of like Caddy Corner from Children's. 50.
What's that?
It's kind of like Caddy Corner from Children's Hospital. It's not too far from there.
Yeah, so they got named in the top 50 restaurants in all the United States. So I'm sure that wait list and wait time just went through the roof. Mm-hmm. I've never been there, never even heard about it, but I saw the article and I'm like, oh, that would be a good date night to go to.
No joke. I drove by there probably about a month or so ago. I don't know how long they've been open because I hardly ever go down that way on Penn. And whenever I drove by it, I was just like, it looks like a bingo hall turned into a restaurant from the outside. I was just like, didn't even know there was a restaurant there. And then I saw this list. I was like, all right.
I'm about to say, they specialize in, but we don't know.
Right.
It's definitely like higher end stuff. If you ever went to any like Kevin Seuss's restaurants, that's what the menu kind of remind me of.
Already a turn off. Already.
So there's that, and then the last thing I had, which has there been anybody? Let me ask. Is there anybody more beloved than anyone? Snoop Dogg?
He
made a career.
He's generational too.
Yes, yeah.
Where Snoop first started, right? And
yes,
the whole doggy style murder was the case. Actually being on trial, like the whole, and then to now where we're at, where Snoop is literally just like, he's like Shaq. He's on everything.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It's a household name.
Yeah, like I mean, you had a show with Martha Stewart. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he's cross generational, cross races, like everything, right?
My mom will say she likes Snoop. My mom has never listened to one Snoop song in her life.
Right.
That's
what I mean, right? Well, Snoop has launched a YouTube channel to help kids learn social and emotional skills. So if you haven't been out there or don't know, it's titled Doggyland Kid Songs and Nursery Rhymes. Snoop is the voice of the main character, Bow Wizzle. Of course, it's Bow Wizzle for Shizzle. But yeah, so just another individual that's taking the platforms available and giving back and doing something good. I hope this is a huge success. It looks dope from what they showed, like screenshot wise and everything else. Yeah, so shout out to Snoop continuing to evolve and give back and do good things. And I love his comment about directed to Mike Tomlin after the Steeler game. He said, "Yo, Mike T, fire this mother bleeper because he is trash."
But yeah, all I'm thinking about is the cover of Doggy Style and then a kid's cartoon.
Exactly.
I'm just going to chalk one up for Snoop Dogg's creative process.
Exactly. Exactly. That little pamphlet inside the CD.
I mean, yeah,
that's not on a kid's book. Trust me.
That'd get you canceled.
And if it is on a kid's book, it's one of the ones that are on the ban list. But yeah, shout out Snoop. Good job. If you got young kids out there, definitely go and check it out. I think it'll be well worth it. So yeah. All right. Anybody got anything else?
Nope.
Again, shout out everybody. Hey, thanks again. We appreciate you guys. We love you guys tuning in every single week. 2 years, no small feat. Didn't think we'd get here, but now we are. And here's to many more years to come, hopefully. We do got some side projects in the works that I think people will be excited to hear about, which we're going to touch base post-production wise.
Maybe 30 anniversary, we'll get some confetti.
Yeah, we'll definitely step the production up. You know,
y'all got to go out there and buy some merch so we can afford to buy some confetti for the show.
Yeah. Shameless plug. I love it. Shameless plug. ProWrestlingTees.com/DumbMarksPod. But I got to say, we got to step up the merchandise game. Got to come up with some new stuff. We're slacking, we know, but we'll get it out there.
We're busy.
So, yeah. So, busy. So with that being said, this week's quote of the week centers around ego. Ego is just a small three-letter word, which can destroy a big 12-letter word called relationship. Ego is just a small three-letter word, which can destroy a big 12-letter word called relationship. So don't let your ego get in the way. Be humble. Stay humble. With that, again, thanks for tuning in each and every single week. I'm a Mark, you're a Mark Telemark. And until next time, y'all can catch us around the way.